Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Last year was the first time we held such a service together as a community in Morning Chapel. I think many of us were grateful that such grief over the loss of children could be shared together. When it comes to miscarriages and other early child tragedies, too long and too often have we let mothers and fathers quietly grieve alone. But we are part of one another. We are members of the same body, and our bodies belong to the Lord. What happens to one of us, it happens to us all. Last year, we also prayed a psalm together, this psalm, Psalm 30. And truly, the psalms are one of the church's most precious gifts. They are filled with the crosses and sweet comforts of the saints. And as such, praying the psalms together continues to bind us to one another as the church. I'm reminded of Luther's preface to his translation of the Psalms, where he says that when one finds words in the Psalms, they fit his or her situation, and they become sure that they are in the communion of the saints, and that it has gone with all the saints, so it also goes with them, since all the saints sing with them. But the Psalms also teach us how we should think and pray and believe. And Psalm 30 does that well for us today. In it, we are reminded to rejoice in the resurrection, even as we remember our grief. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness. It is a beautiful but difficult word. How are we to rejoice, to praise God for his goodness, for his healing, as if the tears have already been wiped away, when so clearly we see them and feel them still? Today, several other commemorations intersect our service. The church's remembrance of Mary's purification in the temple after she had her firstborn, and the day that Mary and Joseph offered a sacrifice on behalf of their child. Both events are mixed moments, tinged with joy and grief, life and death. And while these moments and commemorations are fitting, I'd like to touch on another event, a day that's close to my heart. Today, February 1st, is my son's birthday. Toby is 11 today. And he is my joy in the morning, my little philosopher, my most sensitive and compassionate of my children. And as Dr. Gibbs can attest, he has a massive forehead. What a dome. But he is the child that came after sadness, after two miscarriages. Then we received Toby. And when we're together, it's like our former sorrow melts away. And I struggle with how to feel about this. On the one hand, my wife and I suffered loss. Children were not born, though we hoped that they might be. On the other hand, Toby is here now, and I wouldn't trade him for all the world. But I suppose, rather than get lost in a world of what-ifs or whys, I am taught by this psalm that it is right to believe in joy more than sorrow. For joy will have the last word. As the psalmist writes, "You have brought up my soul from Sheol. You restored me to life from among those who go down to the pit. What is more splendid than these words, words that you and I speak and pray together because Jesus made them true? In his resurrection, all our hopes are tied, all our tears yield to the joy of dawn, all our mourning will turn to dancing. And in the meantime, present to us now is his Spirit, who lives and dwells in us as a guarantee of this joy, perhaps the most treasured and poignant of the Spirit's fruit. This joy, like our grief, is often inexpressible, and so the Spirit prays with us, he prays even for us, so that we may truly be comforted. I've often been asked to share Luther's words of consolation to mothers who had lost children in the course of their pregnancy, and so I'll do so again today. In 1528, Katie and Luther lost their 5-month-old daughter, Elizabeth. And in 1540, Katie had a miscarriage that left her so weak that she was confined to her bed for nearly 3 months. And then in 1542, Katie and Luther would be overcome with grief as they lost their 13-year-old daughter, Magdalena. But just a few months earlier that year, Luther would write the following words of comfort to mothers. Too often, devout parents, particularly women, have sought consolation from us because they've suffered such agony and heartbreak in childbearing when there was a premature birth or miscarriage or stillbirth. We ought not to frighten or sadden such mothers with unkind words. It's not their fault. Generally speaking, let us talk with grieving mothers like this. First, we may not and cannot know the hidden counsel of God in such a case. Why, after every possible care had been taken, God did not allow the child to be born alive and baptized. Still, these mothers may find comfort and have faith. They need not doubt. God is not angry with them. And second, because this mother is a Christian and a believer, she may hope that God will accept her deep desire to have her child baptized as an effective prayer. True, a Christian in deepest despair does not dare to name, wish, or hope for the help that she would absolutely and gladly purchase with her own life. And were that possible, find comfort in such help. But the words of St. Paul properly apply here. The Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. That is, as was said above, we dare not express our wishes, but that very Spirit intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words. God regards Christians as precious, and their prayer is powerful and great. They have been sanctified by Christ's blood and anointed with God's Spirit. Whatever Christians sincerely pray, especially the unexpressed tearing of the hearts, this becomes a great, unbearable cry in God's ears. God must listen. So it was with Moses, by his groans and the deep cry of his heart, which divided the Red Sea and dried it up. Likewise, Isaiah against Sennacherib and Saint Monica for her son Augustine. Therefore, do not be dismayed or grieved about your child or yourself. Know that your prayer is pleasing to God, and that God will do everything much better than you can comprehend or desire. Much better than we can comprehend or desire. Sometimes we get glimpses of that now, but other times we just wait in faith, remembering, and yes, rejoicing. Rejoicing in the resurrection together. Sing praises to the Lord, O you his saints, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.